Tony Man, they're big damn cook.
I'm afraid that he.
They wanted to run.
Because I figured nobody else could be cook. Well, there's 54 at one. Yeah, 54. Yeah, I was still commissioner of conservation. And Bart had told me, he said, you know, I've got a reputation of being an iron man in Kentucky politics, and I love the reputation, but I sure as hell don't want to have to prove it. Because after I've gotten accustomed to sleeping late in the morning and not working real hard. And he said, I...
How old was he?
He was,
He was well in...
He was in his early 70s.
70s, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was, what, 75 when he died?
Uh-huh.
It was early 70s, but early. And he said, now, it's one of the reasons I want you to take care of my scheduling, certainly, because you'll take care of me. Well, I did. But we still want to maintain the reputation of being Iron Nine Man, and we did it pretty well by using the airplane. We flew them everywhere. And we let him stay sleep late in the morning. We didn't schedule any morning speeches. He said, I don't care how many you schedule for me, except that the one on too early or too late. So we generally had possibly the luncheon one afternoon, one evening. But by flying, we saved a lot of time and a lot of wear and tear using automobiles. Anyhow, it worked. And he was delighted to be back in Washington, but of course, then when Earl was defeated in 56, in 55, after I went out as Commissioner of Conservation, Earl wanted me to go to Washington because he couldn't tough campaign next year and wanted to help him. So I felt obligated to him, and I went up there. And Barclay didn't have no man in his office. He didn't work very hard, so. And I spent a lot of time with him, used to. And Earl was the majority. Well, during that time, Lyndon Johnson had his heart attack, and Clemens was having to act as majority leader. And I had to be on the floor all the time. In order to get some time with him, I spent a lot of time on the floor, too, because the assistant had the right to go on the floor. And, Barclay didn't have much to do, and we used to sit and talk a lot. So I was with him practically every day during that period of time. I was with him the day before we went over to Charlottesville and made his famous speech when he died. One of the few times in my life that I really cried. Great man.
You were talking yesterday about Bob Bell and how you borrowed him and then Wilson Wyatt borrowed him and everybody wanted him. How did that go? Where was he first?
Well, I hired him first. He was at the graduating University of Kentucky. He had a year at that Southern Regional training program, and I hired him right after he graduated from that. And he was with me as deputy commissioner for, must have been 49, I heard him. After about at least 4 or 5 years, he resigned to start a business in his own election. Then when Wilson was elected, he was hired Bob as his assistant. And I became Commissioner of Highways, I stole him away, and then Bert Combs stole him from me. Make the Commissioner of Revenue, and he was Commissioner of Parks.
First stolen for Revenue?
Yeah, the latter part of the administration.
And then made him Parks, the
Commissioner of Parks. administration, he went to St. Louis, got a job with some big national outfit, forgot the name of it. He came back to Kentucky, kind of got to a business again, didn't do very well.
There was a sort of a legend, a story that there were so many people waiting to see you every day as highway commissioner that you had to take a back elevator up to your office or something like that. Is that right?
When that building was built, they built a freight elevator from the basement that went to the, like the seventh floor, not there. The shaft and everything was there, but they hadn't extended. And we had a door cut from my office into the elevator shaft, which had made that elevator available. It was already there, I see the elevator there, just put a door in. Which made it possible to go from my office to the cafeteria in the basement, without going through the restroom. Some of the boys that worked for me thought it was going to be a great thing. I really never used it, mountain thing.
Oh, you didn't?
It was, there wasn't that big a crowd that I had to worry with, and I didn't mind seeing people. So I really never used it much. They tried to make something of it, but it was one of those things in hindsight, if I was thinking about my image, it wouldn't have been anything to do. I wasn't thinking about my image. And truth of the matter is, I didn't really have a lot to do with it. I've forgotten. One of my assistants just thought it was a great idea. Arranged for it before anything about it, but it just wasn't very useful. I didn't use it very often.
How would you judge the four governors you worked for? Clements, Wesley, Combs, and Breathitt?
Well, they were all different types. Clements, by far the most forceful. And in terms of imagination and willingness to move real fast, forcefully, was the top of the list. I'd say also he was completely honest and sincere. He was, of course, a politician and did the things that Kentucky politics made necessary. But I never had the slightest thought that Darrell Clements was anything except honest. My own relationships were always good. He never asked me to do anything that was dishonest. Never asked me to do anything wrong that I can remember. Lawrence Wesley was an entirely different type. Not a lot of great deal of drive. Very sincere, thoroughly sincere. Could be a very determined about doing things when he was convinced that he wouldn't get done. That Stridmineville is a good example of it. Basically, he was a good governor, good sound fellow. He was relatively conservative, I think. Not a pusher. He was, I guess they'd call him a good caretaker governor. Without meaning demeaning at all, because every now and then the state doesn't need that. Certainly after one minister, after Clements, for example, Bayside made sweeping changes. it's probably a good thing for the state to have someone who administration and not trying to initiate a lot of new things. Bird combs, again, are a different type. I don't think Bird had personally a great lot of imagination about things that need to be done. He had, of course, no background in government, but you can't say a third judge in a judge court of appeals for a short time had gained very much knowledge about state government. But Burke was, I think, had the ability to get people working with him, and he had the ability to listen and gain from experience. And coming from 4 years of Chandler, when the state suffered, he came along at a good time and did a good thing. I thought he did a good job. I thought Bert was sincere and conscientious. Not afraid to do something that had to be done, even though they're not politically popular. Just like, for example, the passing sales tax after having a campaign in which I don't really know that he made a specific commitment, but certainly he never said during the campaign he was going to pass the taxes, which obviously was a
people had to vote for it. Mm-hmm. The people had to vote on that. Remember, they had to vote on that referendum.
Tied into the voters' bonus thing. Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, it was politically a courageous thing to do. I think I forgot.
Ned
again is an entirely different type of person. I think ambitious, but not on any great grand scale. I don't recall any great forward strides that the state made or he initiated. But again, I could go wrong if you remind me of some specifics.
Well, he did pass that strip mine bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, of course, experience all along the years indicated changes need to be made in regulations and the law. The youth factors were discovered. Ned, I thought, was a completely honest, completely sincere, conscientious individual. He wanted to do that sort of thing. He had the courage to back the right man for governor to succeed him, but lack of political knowledge of making the decision. It was really for me. And he said after the loan, he said, I don't regret it a bit, a minute. Just, it was a fine individual, a very close personal friend. Next to Weatherby, I guess, was my closest friend.
Did Combs have any real... Combs was like Clements and that. They didn't have close friends, none of them. Clemens had friends like Dot.
Yeah,
but not a lot
not
of
really
close
friends. They're more associates than they were friends.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're right. I don't know of except for one or two people at Boring Field. I don't know if Clemens had any friends. The only friend, close friend, I think of Bert had was Marvin.
Music.
They lived next door to each other in Prestonsburg. But, you know, that's... That's true of a lot of people in politics. I've never had thought about it very much, but I think when you're moving around a lot, I know I personally had very few personal friends. I had more back when I was working in Newsbury for a few people, but around Frankfort, I don't recall it. I just didn't have any personal friends. Gladys was one of the families that had friends, and she had millions of them, but I didn't. And partly because I was for business all the time. I didn't socialize much. I guess of those years in Frankfurt, I'm thinking about the only one that when I was Commissioner of Conservation, only one I guess I'd consider a friend was Marshall Wimby. And that was the case. That was more of a friendship than was an associate or a working somebody else. But that's true of Clements and Combs and other people who are busy with their lives and whose thoughts are about what they want to do or doing, that just didn't have time for friendship, develop them and nurture them.
Do you think that the quality of Kentucky government has improved in your time?
Well, of course, I've been away from it now for so many years. I'm really not very qualified to judge. From what I do know of it, I'd say no. Well, it's probably improved administratively because of the tenure, because of the good state employees and guaranteed tenure.
Merit system.
I think that has made it better in that administratively, in other words, got rid of the worst of the old patronage system. So from that point of view, I'd say definitely there's been a very marked improvement. I didn't see much of it while I was there, or prior to that time, because most of the benefits have come since then. But although in the highway department, the last 3-4 years, or even more than that, that I was there, I definitely saw marked improvements in personnel. We were able to retain a lot of younger fellows who had been resigning after 2-3 years. Most of the engineers of the highway department, I wouldn't say most, but there's a great number of them, came out of the scholarship program that the highway department sponsored. Engineering scholarship at the University of Kentucky. With the understanding these boys, after graduating, were obligated to work 2 years at the highway department. And the trend had been for after 2 years quit, so they feel their obligations and they go out to get a better job in the industry. Well, that pretty well stopped through the accommodation. The feeling they were getting some recognition and a place to go and that they didn't have to wait for old age to get promotion. So that in terms of what I call improvements in administration, because retaining qualified employees, definitely in our department, it started showing real good results. In the last, I'd say the last 4 years, I'm probably commissioner. Incidentally, I just tried to think about the name of the fellow that I made director of planning, Bob Harbison. H-E-R-B-I-S-O-N. He was one of the younger engineers with a good background. He had had some special training under one of the leading planning consultants, Wilbur Smith, who's a professor of planning at Harvard. He organized a consulting firm later on in STEM operation. Bob had studied under him, so he was well qualified, and I made him director of calibration system director. I later on made him also assistant state highway engineer, and then under the Nunn administration, he was made state highway engineer. Where he is now, he left after the Nunn administration.
Of course, the growth of the Human Resources Department has been an outstanding feature of state government. Bringing all those things in, it's a massive department now, twice or three times as big as state as highways.
Yeah.
You like conservation more than highways?
Yes. It was much more rewarding. I was interested in highways because of an opportunity to do something. I was always I like to do things. And it was the beginning of a new program, the state particularly. I had an opportunity to initiate a lot of things that need to be done. And I have a broad interest in just government generally, improvement of it. Well, it was a challenge to get some things done, but my heart was more in conservation parks and every phase of conservation. As I mentioned yesterday, it's somewhat amazing that so many things that I wound up administering, I had either a legislative experience in backing legislation or personal interest in it for many years. In the area of agriculture. And practically everything that relates to conservation was all involved. Forestry, parks, soil conservation, flood control, water pollution control, strip mining. And the wonder is I ever found time to do what it did, because there were so many of those activities, and I was active in all of them. I was chairman of the State Water Pollution Control Commission, a member of the Ohio Valley Commission, attended every meeting. We organized a little, what's called a flood control division that represented the state, particularly in hearings regarding flood control projects, because they had to appear. And we organized hearings, and I went there one of them. As I say, I don't know how I ever did it, because, well, I did for working weekends. My typical week was to stay in the office about 4 days, and out about three, and to be in some park for a weekend. Well, I did everything. I even waited on tables. But I loved it.
You're surprised at the changing public or the change in liberals, the attitude toward TVA. See people jump on TVA as a giant bureaucracy that...
No, I'm not surprised. It's typical of human behavior. TVA was first organized and seen as a great savior, not only of the valley, but providing cheap power. And I saw that, of course, at the Duke event. We were organized and got operating, and we wanted to get it on TVA power. Took several years to do it, finally did, and all the people were delighted. It was a great move. Wave of electrifying their homes for heating purposes, using electricity for heating, and everybody just lighted, and still TV started raising their rates. And the glamour of the agency started wearing off, and so it reminds many of them that just another utility that kept on raising the rates. Weren't damn bit happy about that. And then TVA, in the early years, they were much more engaged in public relations and a lot of demonstration projects that were very popular.
They were more into conservation.
Yeah, and they got out a lot of that. It became, in a large measure, it really did become just a big utility. I see there's agitation now to take the land between the lakes away from them. Give the National Park Service, which would be a state. The National Park Service has enough trouble of its own. They're no more capable of getting money than TVA.
All the things you did, what are you proudest of?
I'd have to say the park program. Because, see, it was, that effort was more than just going out and building some parks and facilities. It was a total program of selling the state. That was one of the first jobs that Bob was selling. And then selling it to the governor and selling it to the legislature and selling it to people. And every means that you think of was, were utilized in selling it. I mentioned Barney Linehan, for example. She said the Duke were close friends. And I mentioned not having a friend. Linehan was one of my closest friends. He became, when he became president of State Chamber of Commerce, we made the set in to bring the State Chamber of Commerce into the program to sell the park to Kentucky in that tourist industry. Of course, we plugged that to the tourist industry, the development of the tourist industry, not to bring them into parks, but just to bring them to state as a part of the total program. We spent a lot more money and effort on Truth Division publicity, merely promoting tourism, than we did parks. Because we figured, well, hey, there, we get them in here, parks will get their share of them. But we also get the support of private people, because we can show them we're trying to help them too instead of just competing with them. It was just one of the things that we had to do because there was opposition at the outset from some of the little private operators. I know down around Kentucky Lake, they had keep going out and built a few little concrete block shacks to tourist cabins. And we started on the barn development. They were violently opposed to what we were trying to do. I had to fight that battle, and in fact, the air borders down around Cumberland Falls, for example. I'm definitely convinced that Moon Boy Inn was burned down by a fellow operating at the motel.
London, Levi Jackson, I think they were always opposed to the expansion of that park.
Yeah.
I wonder if the future of the parks program has been jeopardized by the overexpansion of it. They bleed off so much money for these little parks that really should be county parks.
Well, conceivably, yes. Unless they use those parks as a means of consolidating the sport. Now, my own experience was that there was generally a lot of popular sport locally for these things. And there are enough of them scattered around the state now that if they really work at it, to maintain and build that kind of sport, and use that sport to pressure the legislature, then they very well could overcome the loss from dividing their money side. But that's just a part of total program. You asked me what I'm proud of. I was proud of the total program, mm-hmm. not just the part development. And part of the total program was utilizing my own background or experience in the legislature and getting things done in the legislature without necessarily having to ask the governor to use all the pressure. And I worked the legislature, I run the campaign. You know, they have this annual pre-section conference in the legislature. Kentucky Ambulance, I started it. Put deliberate reason to sell the legislature on the park program. And of course, I didn't say anything with the Highway Commission. I maintained very close relations with the legislature because I had legislation I wanted to get passed without having to rely on the governor pressing, and particularly when the governor wasn't for me on one particular bill. And Stan mentioned that when they did the Highway Department was ordering mandatory retirement at 65, you know, to get rid of Deadwood. Well, I initiated that on my own order. But, I never knew whether I had legal authority to do it, but I did it and got by with it. And Ned Brackett told me, said, well, you should get by with the Highway Department, maybe go statewide. Of course, they, looking back on it, if I had to do it over again, I'd try to find some other way. Because we did lose some good engineers. And now that I'm 75 instead of 55, 65 isn't too bad. People have some stuff left, so I would have tried to figure out some way of doing it.
Well, I thank you, sir.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Can you think of anything else in this valley to get on that tape?
No, I can't think of anything. Tell you what I'll do, I'll bring you up. I wrote, when I was up at the foundation, with a lot of time on my hands, I sat there and wrote a damn thing that ran in pages and pages, covered 45 years in public life, private life. Of course, at that time, my memory is better, too. So there may be something I'll get the thing out of it. There may be something in it.
Did you say there was a grocery store here?